I'm super excited for what God is doing in this series, what God is just doing here at Discovery. But in this series, it's been a great series, man. And we're kind of going off this premise that when you know Jesus, when you know his personality, you're able to have that relationship with him. And so it's not just knowing about Jesus, you know, knowing about some of the things. It's actually knowing him. And that's what we've been diving in the last few weeks. And so so just a little recap here. We went the first week, if you weren't here, we went into the playfulness of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus had a sense of humor. He had fun. He joked around with his friends. Like, he was actually like fun to be around. And so talked about the playfulness of Jesus. In week two, we talked about Jesus was human. He was 100% God. He was 100% human. And so we talked about the humanity of Jesus and what that looked like. And he had some of the same, even though he was, you know, the Son of God, like, he had those same human needs. Like, he went through the same things we go through. And that's like whom we can relate with him. The third week was Jesus was honest. I love the title of that pastor, The Disruptive Honesty of Jesus. That, I don't know about you guys, but that jacked me up, man. Because I was like, okay, there's some people I need to talk to. There's some things I need to say. And I need to be honest about relationships, you know, that I'm in with my friends. And it just jacked me up. And so much from that. Last week, the fierceness of Jesus. And Jesus is not just this weak, timid man that's just kind of like being stepped all over. Like, he's actually fierce. He's actually fierce. Like, he talked about, like, he pulled those tables. He said, no, this is not going to happen in my house. And so Jesus is fierce. He's actually fierce enough that he would come from heaven to earth and he would die for us. That's the fierce love of Jesus, okay? And so we talked about the fierceness. So this week, it's kind of culminating in this last installment of Rebel King, because my hope today is that now that we know some of the personality traits of Jesus, my hope is that we can come to this place where we can now then have an intimate relationship with him, that we can have a personal relationship, a deeper relationship than we have now, because we can know a lot of things about him, but it's not until you know him. It's not until you know him intimately. It's not until you know him on that deep level. That's where the fullness is at. And that's my hope, is that we would come to this place today where we can be in relationship with Jesus. So the title of this sermon is simply this, is Jesus was relational. Jesus was relational. Now Jesus wasn't this standoff, like, you know, I don't want to talk to you, like, stuck up, like, selfish, like, oh, I'm superior, like, I'm God, you know, and I'm not going to talk to you, and he just walked by you. Like, Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't have this attitude of, I'm better than you. Like, Jesus was actually very, very down to earth. He was open. He considered others, and especially with his close friends, he had great, great, deep, healthy relationships with his close friends. Now, these are his friends that were his day ones. Like, they were with him from the beginning when he started his ministry. They actually were with him even growing up as a kid. Like, Jesus had these friends that he was in relationship with these friends, with these disciples. And even after Jesus came back to life and resurrected from the grave, he was still the same Jesus. He was still relational with his friends. And so I want to share this story. It's found in John chapter 21, because Jesus, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is important, because when you come together with people, when you sit in a place with people and talk to people and engage with people, that means something. And Jesus over here, after he resurrected, he goes back into the town. He goes back to the Sea of Galilee, where he had met the disciples before, and they're out there fishing, and Jesus is out there on the shore, and he's just watching them, and he's like, hey guys. And they look all his friends, his disciples, they're in the boat trying to catch fish, you know. They've been there for a few hours. They've been there all night. And he's like, over here, you wanna cast your net right there. And the disciples are looking at him like, who is this guy, like, trying to tell us what? And they look and they're like, we haven't caught anything all night. We've been here, we've been casting there, we've casted there already, cast over there, nothing's happening. He's like, no. He's like, trust me, like, there's some there. Oh, no, we're not. He's like, trust me, there's some over there. Like, go and cast your net over there. And so, like, all right, well, doesn't hurt to try. So they cast their net where Jesus told them to. And immediately fish just started swarming. They started catching fish, 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 and their net was just heavy, and they pulled it in. And in that moment, the disciples knew, that's Jesus. That's our friend. That's we've been with him. We know this story already. We know who he is. And so we pick it up over here in John chapter 21, verse 12. And Jesus says this when they come to him. He says, hey, guys, come. Let's have some breakfast. Let's eat. That's the first thing he says, come, come. And so they bring the fish to him, and he has this fire. He snaps his fingers, and the fire just starts happening, you know. It's not the Thanos snap. It's just a snap of Jesus, and the fire starts happening. They get a grill out there, and they start cooking. He cooks them a meal. He says, come, sit with me, man. Let's talk. Let's talk about some things that have happened. And I love this. He says, let's have some breakfast. He says, Jesus said to them, and not one of the disciples needed to ask who it was, because every one of them knew it was the Lord. Like, they knew Jesus. They didn't just not know what, they knew him personally and intimately. And then Jesus came close to them and he served them. Now, you would think, like, Jesus just died on the cross. He saved the world, you know, he covered sin, he did all that. But Jesus still came back because they were his close friends. He came close to them and he served them and he loved them. This wasn't new, because this is actually something that Jesus did with his friends a lot. He actually did this a lot in his life growing up. They came, they ate together, they broke bread, they talked, they shared moments with each other throughout his life and even throughout his ministry. They came together and they ate together and they shared these moments together. And this is a big deal. In a lot of cultures, it's a big deal. I don't know if it's a big deal with you in your family. It's a big deal for us. We get together and we have dinners together. And it's just, there's something special about when you eat with somebody at the dinner table or when you have a meal with somebody. There's something even more special when you actually invite somebody to your house to eat together. That's where you share some intimate moments. That's where you're able to talk. You're able to laugh. Something happens in that moment over a meal. And so here's the key. Here's one of the key things, I think, in making friendships and you know, starting new relationships. This is what you want to do here. Write this down. Food. Everybody's like, yeah, food. I don't know if it got went over, but food. You want to bring food? No. Okay. You want to invite people over for food, like. Food makes everything just that much more great, is if you have food. So bring some food, invite some people over your house, and have some food, okay? Have some food with your friends. But really, like, this meant a lot to Jesus. And to be honest, like, I don't think that we're like this so much anymore. I think we've kind of lost this whole, like, hey, let's engage with one another. Let's have dinner with one another at a table. Let's develop some good, healthy relationships. Like, instead of pursuing relationships, we're running from them. Like, we don't want to be in relationship with other people. Like, I'm good where I'm at. We kind of just keep it at a distance, and we don't want to have those relationships anymore. I think there's three things that contribute, and there's many things, but there's three things that I believe contribute to this kind of like anti-relational culture that we live in. It's kind of like this war on relationships. I want to share these with you really quickly. I believe that technology has hindered us from engaging people. I mean, we know about people. We think we even know people, but we really, like, you really don't know people if you're watching their online feed. Or if you're even friends with them on Facebook, what does that even mean? Like you have 1,000 friends on Facebook, and those ain't really your friends. Those are stalkers. They're just trying to stalk you. They want to know where you've been at, what you're doing. But those aren't really like true relationships. Nowadays, we rather just like text somebody than talk to somebody. Like, I don't answer my phone. I'm just gonna text them. It's easier to text. Like, there's this barrier with technology and what it's done to us. And even when we do get together, when we do have a dinner together or in the living room together, and this is what everybody's doing, right? Everybody's like this. You're like, get off your phone. And it's just kind of like, oh, man, like, oh, yeah, I can get off my phone. But it's kind of something you can't, like, it's our culture. It's the culture we live in. My boys had their first concert, and I was like, yes, they're having their first concert. Where are we going to take them? What are we going to do? Like, it's going to be awesome. And so we're like, asking, you know, my son, like, okay, so what's going on? And then we find that his concert's actually on Fortnite in his room. And it's funny because it's actually like a live concert happening. Like, there's people there. There's actual people there. They're just on their device in another country. And like, there's actually somebody on stage, and they're, like, having fun, and they're doing all the dances, but it's, like, online. Like, it's not in. I'm like, boy, you need to go to a real concert, okay? This is not real. It is, but it's not. But it's just this barrier, like, we don't even go out anymore and pursue relationships. I think the second thing is the busyness of life can even cause us to miss out on authentic relationships. We get so busy with work, and we get so busy with what we're pursuing. We get so busy with maybe even some things that we want, and we never make time just to develop some healthy relations. We never make time to go out and meet somebody or invite somebody over because we're just too busy. And I know if you have family, if you have kids, you're changing diapers, you're taking them to school, you're taking them to games. I know, like, that's part of being, you know, a parent and being busy. But sometimes I believe that we get so busy that we just don't make time. It's not a value in our lives to go out and say, hey, man, let's meet some new people. Let's get into some healthy, godly relationships with other people. The busyness of life. And lastly, this one's a little bit more deep, but I believe fear holds us back from pursuing relationships. Fear, the fear to open up, the fear to share, the fear to be vulnerable kind of hinders us. The fear to say, okay, this is me. This is the real me. This is not the Instagram me. This is not the face. This is actually the real me. Are they going to like me? Are they going to judge me for something I do? Are they going to judge me because I slurp my spaghetti? I do that. I do that. It's okay. I'm not sorry for that. I slurp my spaghetti. It tastes better. But are they going to judge you? Are they going to say something about you? And so we have this fear that hinders us from getting into relationships with other people and friends. Regardless of what culture says or what thoughts you have, here's the point I want to make is that when we isolate ourselves from relationships, we step away from God's purpose for our lives. When we isolate, we step away from God's purpose because you and I were created to be in community with one another. We're created to lift each other. We're created to encourage each other. We're created for each other. That's what God created us for, and we step away from God's purpose for our lives. Jesus modeled these qualities throughout his life, and so I want to really focus in on three relational qualities that Jesus modeled for us, and I want to kind of take from these too as well. So number one is this, is that Jesus gave acceptance. Jesus gave acceptance. Jesus welcomed people in. Jesus was approachable. He included others into what he was doing. You just get this picture of Jesus. He has kids on him, and he's making the kids laugh. And like Jesus, he includes, he was approachable, he welcomed others, he considered other people, he accepted other people. There's a story found in John chapter 4, and Jesus is going on his way with his friends over to Samaria, and he goes to a well, and he sees a woman there, and he asks her for a drink of water, and she's drawing water from the well. And this is, some of you guys may know this story, but this is some of the conversation that Jesus had with her. He said, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Like, what are you even doing asking me? Like, we all know this. Like, you guys don't accept. We don't accept each other. We're different. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. It didn't matter where this woman was from. It didn't matter who she worshipped or where she worshipped. It didn't matter even what, if you know the story, it didn't matter what she had done in her life. Jesus said, listen, I don't think you understand the gift that's right in front of you, the gift that I will give you. And he said, this is the gift I'm going to give you. It's called acceptance. It's called I I want to include you. I accept you for who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can come into the family. You can come and share this relationship with me because of who God is. And we serve a God who's accepting. We serve a God who includes. And if you're here today and you feel like, man, are they going to accept me? Is that church going to? Listen, God accepts you for who you are. He loves you and he has a plan for your life. And that's the relationship of, that's the relational quality of Jesus that I love, man, because I'm a mess. We're all a mess. We all got flaws. We all have something that we deal with. But Jesus says, it's okay. I love you, and I accept you for who you are. Come to me. Come to me. Number two is this. Jesus says, Jesus gave encouragement. Jesus gave encouragement. Jesus spoke life. He lifted up his friends. He was there. He had their back. He gave them words of affirmation. He comforted them. He assured them of the call that he had on their lives, but he was there to offer them. And over here in John chapter 14, there's this dialogue going on between Jesus and his disciples. And at this time, his disciples were just kind of like, what are we doing? Where are we going to go? What happens where are you going to go? Are you going to come? Like, they're just kind of worried and discouraged about what's happening at that time. And Jesus spent that whole chapter, he's just encouraging them. And then he says this towards the end of the chapter in verse 27. He says, listen, guys, he says, I leave you the gift of peace with you, my peace. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the uncertainty, in the middle of the, I don't know what's going on here, Jesus says, listen, I leave you peace, my peace. And he says, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. He says, don't yield to fear. Don't be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. It's going to be okay. I'm giving you peace. Right now, you're going through a storm. Right now, you don't really understand what's going on. Guess what? Jesus says peace in your situation, peace in your finances, peace in your relationships, because that's who Jesus is. He's actually the Prince of Peace, and that's what he offers us. And if we can grasp, like, man, when we're going through some hard times, if we can grasp that we have a God who is relational and a God that wants to give us peace, we can get through our storms. We can get through those times. And so he gives peace to you in your storm. He is the God of peace, and he gives peace. And number three is this. Jesus gave security. Jesus gave security. And we all want to be secure. We all want to know. We all have questions like about the future and what's going to happen and are we going to be okay. And Jesus gives that security. He gives that hope and that confidence because he's our refuge. He gives us that protection that we need to continue to move forward. In John chapter 11, we talked about the story of Lazarus and his sisters, and Lazarus passes away, and he's in the tomb for 4 days, and his sisters go, and they send a message out to go get Jesus, to have Jesus come back, and because they're just distraught, they're just discouraged, they're in despair, they don't know what they're going to do. They lost their brother, he's been dead, and they don't know what to do. They don't really know what the future holds, and so Jesus comes, and Martha's just like, listen, like, he's gone. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He's already gone. He's been there for 4 days already. And Jesus says this in verse 25. He says, Martha, you don't have to wait till then. He's like, I am the resurrection, and I am life eternal. And anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. Will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And in that moment, he assured Martha. He said, listen, this is not the end. Your life is in my hand for eternity. Right now, what you're experiencing, it's temporary. But know this, you'll have eternal life if you believe in me and you follow me and you're in relationship with me. You will have eternal life. It's the best plan that you've ever could be on, is that I have eternal life. I didn't have to pay for anything. Like, this is the ultimate plan. Jesus paid it all, and he gives us security. He gives us a hope, an unwavering hope that us too, we don't have to worry. We know, like, this life is temporary, and we know, man, we got an inheritance. We got an eternal life that's waiting for us because Jesus gives us security. We're secure in him. We're secure in him. I don't think it's enough, of course, though, to just know all this about Jesus. because here's the truth. Your relationship here on earth, it thrives from the overflow of your relationship with Christ. The relationship, the relationships you're in right now, they will thrive if you're in relationship with Christ. You will begin, once you know and you understand, like, you know what? I'm accepted by Jesus. I'm accepted by God. I don't need approval from anybody else. I'm accepted because Jesus accepts me. Therefore, I can accept others. I can bring them in. I can include them because he did it for me. I'm encouraged because Jesus encourages me. He lifts me up. Sometimes I'll get in my word and I'll read like in the Psalms and you see in the Psalms just an encouragement as you read through his word and the Spirit just begins to encourage you and he begins to speak and you're like, wow. And sometimes it's hard because you're just like, I need to tell somebody. I need to text somebody. I need to call somebody and say, hey, it's going to be okay. God has your back. God is for you. He's not against you. He has a plan for you. He has open doors for you because it's the overflow of what you understand that Jesus gives you, okay? And so we can accept others, we can encourage others, we can let people know, like, hey, it's gonna be okay. You're secure in Jesus and what he has for you, because it thrives from our relationship with Christ. This is the true heart of Jesus. This is the heart of God himself. And Jesus' heart was that we would come together and that we would be one. We would be a community of believers in relationship with one another. Look what Jesus says over here in John chapter 17. In your notes, it's Luke. Change that to John. Sorry about that. But he says this, and I ask not only for these. This is crazy because Jesus doesn't just pray for his disciples here. He actually prays for us. He prays for you today. And this is his heart for you. He says, not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them to all be joined together as one body, one church, one community of believers. Even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one, I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. The world will recognize that you sent me. The way we love each other, the way we're in relationship with one another, the way we encourage each other, the way we hang out with one another, it is a testament of who Jesus is. It is a testament. The world will look and they will say, man, like, I don't know about those people at Discovery, but, man, like, they're welcoming over there. They're accepting over there. Like, I want to go see what's going on. Like, who loves like that? Who accepts like that? Like, they just keep encouraging me. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird at first, but it makes me feel good. Like, I'm feeling really good because they're affirming me. They're encouraging me. And guess what this does? It makes Jesus known. It glorifies Jesus. Your relationships with other people glorifies Jesus. Makes him known. Makes Jesus known. People are curious. We have small groups coming up, as Pastor Jason already mentioned. Next week, man, I encourage you guys. I know it's summertime, but, man, get in a group. Get together with some people that are like-minded. Get together with some people that can share this relationship that you have with Jesus together, that you can grow with, that you can sharpen, that you can talk to about the same thing. Like, get in those relationships, man. You'll find some great people that want to do the same. You weren't made to do this alone. We were made to do this together. So get connected to a small group. Starts next Sunday, the whole week and throughout the summer. So vital, so vital. Before I close, though, I want to give you three truths right here in pursuing. How do I, okay, we talked about Jesus, but how do I get into those? Like, what does that look like? And there's three truths that I think these are so important for all of our relationships and something for us to take away today. Number one is this: pursue people in prayer and with intentionality. Pursue people with prayer and intentionality. I'm not standing up here and saying, hey, just go give your heart and share your stuff with everybody. Like, I'm not saying that, you know. I think we should be praying and seeking the Lord and saying, God, like, send some people to me. Like, help me to discern. Help me to know, like, this is the person that I want. Send some mentors to me. That's what I need right now. Lord, send some mentors to me that I can talk to, that I can be in relationship. Send a couple, if you're a couple. Send a couple that I can relate to and that we can talk and we can pray together. Like, pray. Like, the Lord will send those people to you if we're prayerful and we're intentional about it. John chapter 2, there's a story here that Jesus says, now, while he was in Jerusalem, at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. It says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them. Jesus didn't even entrust himself to just anybody because he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person, because there were some people that just want something from you. Right here, they just wanted something from Jesus. They wanted to be his friend because they saw he was performing these miracles. They were just like, okay, what can we get from Jesus? He can do this for me. He can do this for me. He can do this for me. And Jesus knew, hey, this is not what I'm here for. And so he discerned. He was able to discern these things. Healthy relationships thrive on what I can give to it, not what I can get from it. And so you want to make sure that you're in relationships where people aren't just wanting something from you. Pray, ask the Lord, send me some people, Lord. Number two is this, love people in truth and grace. We learned about being honest with people. And I would say, love people in truth, not your truth, God's truth. I would say love them with the truth of God's word, not with the truth of my word, the truth of God's word, and give them grace, the same grace that was displayed and extended to you. Give people grace. Give your friends grace. Love on them. But be honest with them. Be truthful with them. That's how good, healthy relationships grow. Third thing is this, is grow. Grow with people through love and forgiveness. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Sorry, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Healthy things grow. We all know that. What you put, you gotta, plants grow, you gotta put water in that. Healthy things grow. Relationships grow when they are rooted in forgiveness and love. That's how they grow. You may need to have some conversations and be like, you know what? Can you forgive me for what I did to you? I apologize. I don't know what I was thinking. Please, I'm sorry for doing that. This is where relationships grows, when we learn how to forgive one another. There might be some people right now that you're thinking of, man, like, I need to apologize. Even if I was right, even if they were wrong, like, I need to make it right. I just need to go. If they're my friend and I need to just apologize, say, I love you. Please forgive me. Let's move forward. Because when you can authentically forgive someone, you can fully love again. You can fully love your friends again. You can fully love your family again when you can practice this forgiving others. I want you guys to bow your head with me.